White, Edson. White, Emma. Wellington, New Zealand, April 18, 1893. Dear children, Edson and Emma White. I received your letter, Emma. I thank you because I have ever an interest in my children and want to hear from them as often as possible. We have been traveling so much and speaking so constantly that my time and strength have been used to the uttermost. I have seen the necessity of being diligent in doing the work for the Master. I am not entirely free from pain, and work while compassed with infirmities. I feel like doing double work for those who will not work in the service of Jesus Christ, and I will seek strength and wisdom of God to do the work in accordance with His will, for I do have respect to the recompense of the reward. I thought I could not possibly find time to write to you without bringing upon myself nervous prostration. When I consider that the closest relationship exists between the mother and her children, I am often placed in a position where my burden of thoughts would crush me if I did not cast my burden upon the burden-bearer. I have hoped and prayed that my son Edson would not disappoint his mother and his Redeemer who gave his life for the life of the world, that whosoever believeth in him, in Jesus as his personal Savior, should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. We see very much to be done in this country. It is, I think, a most beautiful country, far superior to Australia, and oh, how my heart has hungered and thirsted for the help I know Edson could give me if he was transformed in character by the grace of Jesus Christ. God has given you, my son, great privileges and advantages. He has given you a knowledge of the truth, and I have thought with your entrusted talent what good you might do in this country. While no man is debarred from doing good, the Lord has given to special ones the talent for special work, to labor for souls, and through the grace of Christ stand as a representative of the truth and be the means of saving souls to Jesus Christ by holding forth the word of life. I know that a great work is to be done in this field, but as I see the lack of knowledge and of experience, I think of those who might do God's service, but who will not obey His call, and all I can do is to work early and late. But I can never do the work of another. Unfaithful servant must stand registered against them in the books of heaven. The Lord lives and reigns, and we must all soon appear before the judgment seat of Christ to answer for the good we might have done and did not do in the service of God. What answer will they make in that day? What is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Life, eternal life, is worth a lifelong, persevering, untiring effort. Oh, it is a terrible thing to lose eternal life, and in losing it themselves, others are lost also through their example and influence. They never go alone. They take others with them through the power of their example. And then when I think that not one soul needs to perish. All your activity, all your zeal, can find ample scope, if sanctified, to be employed in good works, bringing into your life work not hay, wood, and stubble to the foundation stone, but gold and silver and precious stones. The Word of God does not repress and kill activity, but it directs it into proper channels. Time is hastening on. Soon the end will come. Are you, my children, ready to meet Him in peace? The Lord has placed a light in your hand, in His holy word, and tells you that you may be an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, to an immortal inheritance. All the life may be spent in seeking worldly gain, which hopes are never realized and never will be a success. The living oracles tell of unsearchable riches and treasures in heaven that are beyond all computation. The peace which Christ gives is of highest value. There is a home in the mansions Christ has gone to prepare for His obedient children. No capability or talent in the human agent is to be extinguished, but all are to be brought to Christ to be blessed and sanctified to His service. Oh, it seems at times more than I can bear that the world should find in any child of mine countenance to the forgetting of God. Having had great light, great opportunities, the example in being oblivious to God and His will and His ways strengthens the hands of the sinner and accumulates the evil in the same way that talents improved and not misapplied will double the lent talents. So it is opposite in its influence. If one who has had so large light will let himself down into Satan's service, Satan will make the most of him through his influence to make the truth of God a lie, to contradict the power of the truth on human character. The worldly side of our religion should be watched with constant vigilance. Oh, how easy a matter to debase and corrupt the soul by sinning against light and knowledge. Transgressions may appear small, something from which you can recover yourself. A very small sin opened the floodgates of woe to our world, and the result will be the eternal ruin of thousands upon thousands, millions upon millions of souls. Well may the apostle say, "Give no place to the devil." Ephesians 4, verse 27. It is not yet too late for wrongs to be righted, but if the devil can by his devices snatch you away from this life, while you are in rebellion against God, then hell will triumph. Shall it be? For Christ's sake, turn you, for why will you die? Oh, be converted, soul and body and spirit. Return to Jesus and give him all your powers. Then come over and help us. I dare not deceive you by any word I may utter, but if you are not transformed in character, you are lost, eternally lost. The work before you is to seek the Lord with the humility of a little child. God alone can help you to raise the moral tone. He will work with every effort you make for personal culture and the training of principle. You have a work to do which no one can do for you. You have worked in the direction of stealing your heart from God. You have now an opportunity to open the door and let Jesus come in, and then, united with Christ, you can set to work redeeming the time. But these words are enough, you may think, altogether too much. But it is your mother that writes, one who has an interest in your soul that no other one can have. When I am now requested to pray for the life of a child, I never will do it. I think of you, Edson, my praying for your life, and that if you had then died in your innocent babyhood, I could count you with the members of the family, what will help compose the family of heaven. But when I am asked to pray now for any innocent child, a shiver of horror comes over me, which almost takes away my life. Well, I must close. I pray for you, Mother. Daughter Emma, I send this to your address, for I know not as Edson will receive it or even read it. I have had some quite plain revealings, and I am more sorrowful than I can express. Yet there is hope for his soul. Yet the tender mercies of God are extended. But how long shall this last? I hope you will not neglect to write to me, even if my own son, for whom I labored so long, has divorced himself from God and from his mother. Write to me, Emma. I will try to answer you, Mother. Send all communications to Auckland, New Zealand, care of Edward Hare, Turner Street. Mother.